I do. They are not my friend, and I am not their friend. My brother was the one that went to engineering school. Okay, now what am I looking at?
Okay, so we had the three tables. The one with the employee,
yep.
Where the employee ID was the primary key. And then you had the one with project, where I had a project ID as the primary key.
Right.
And then the work one, where I had the
so
three.
So one to many.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm now remembering which one you're talking about. So it's in...
Okay.
It's in what? This one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So in the project table, you've got the project ID and you've got a project manager.
And a project name.
And a project name. Is there a constraint that can be put on the project manager in that table so that only, so that you enter a project manager name that's actually in the employee table? Even though neither one of those fields are private.
Well, I guess there could be, but I mean, the manager of the project. Oh, I see.
Must
okay,
be an employee.
Right, must be an employee, obviously. So if I go and.
I think that happened after I entered somebody who wasn't an employee. I entered their name wrong, and I'm like, wait a minute.
You know, I don't know the answer to that. Because if you look at the constraints, you can put a check.
And I think I tried that.
I mean, I know how you can check it is, you know, you can put a where clause in
right. And
make the link. But putting in a constraint, the only way I could do it would be with a check. And if I put a check in and said where, and in parentheses put manager name equal... Yeah, I'm not sure. That's a real good question, though. I mean, it's worth playing with. Mm. And I will try to remember to play with it. And if you send me an email, then I will be helped to remember to play with it. But I'm not... Something isn't, clicking in my head that this would be the way you could do that. Because it's referencing another table... And when you're doing a create, you're basically saying, is what you just, is this equal to, so the check would have to be referencing another table, which is already existing. So, you know, it seems like it should be, but I don't know how. Never thought of wanting to do that, I guess. So if you remind me, I will try.
Okay,
do you have another question I can't answer?
Yeah, the other one was very similar. It was one I want to put a constraint on the date in the work table to prevent it from being a date in the future. Because I actually did that, too, when I was entering data.
Yes, I've done that, too.
So I wanted to check it against the system date, but it wouldn't let me.
It wouldn't. You couldn't put in there the date was less than system date.
No, they're not like that.
Yeah, no, those are two things that I don't have quick answers to. So if you send me an email,
okay.
I will spend some time looking them up. Because they're interesting.
It's valid checks you want to make.
Right. Yeah. I mean, constraints don't do the entire thing for you. You obviously, but you're right. You want to try not to put data on the table that is...
I guess if it was an entry system, your SQL would just be part of the program and you could ask perhaps the user for that and do the check outside of it?
Yeah, now, I mean, we're going to be looking at PLSQL. And in PLSQL, you can definitely ask those kinds of questions because it's more of a programming language.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you get into PLSQL, you get an awful lot of power about asking those questions, and you can create tables in PLSQL. So you could definitely ask that question. But in SQL, I don't have the answer. Okay, so we're looking at more on views. Okay, that's fine.
First task action on the assignment.
On which assignment?
The Oracle T's assigned the same one, but on the
okay.
First task.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't know if you can answer this without really giving me too much information, but it's in regard to the not null. I have data in my OIL database tables, and basically you can't think of a way that I can put in that without losing the data. I know I can have some ideas on working around that, but, you know.
Yeah, so no, not was, no. Yeah. I mean, you can do that when you first create the table, but once you've created
right.
it.
Once it's data, because we have the...
Not null just
right.
doesn't work right.
Right, right. I know some ways to around that, but...
Yeah, right, but I, you know, I don't think...
Yeah.
Not null, as I said, really has to be done when you are creating the table.
Right, right.
And if you try to add a not null after you've created the table, it's a royal pain, because
right,
you've got
exactly.
to either, you know... I guess you could make, you know, you can make a copy of the table and
right.
create a new table and then move
right.
the data, or else you can take out all of the, drop all of the
mm-hmm.
constraints
mm-hmm.
and then put them, all the keys,
yeah.
and then put them back in after you, you're done.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the not null will work if you don't, but it really has to be done when you're creating the table.
Okay.
So
that said, do we...
I want you to establish a variety of constraints. Did I actually say you need to use them? Yeah, I did say not null.
Yeah,
yeah, but see, you'd already done the oil company
yeah.
tables, so
yeah.
go ahead and just make a make another table
okay.
that uses the not null.
Okay.
Just a throwaway table.
Okay. Nice.
That you get to play with the not null. Okay, one more time. We're going to look at views. Anybody else got questions? Because I'm about ready to hit this. Okay. More on views. Okay, one of them is you've got a... I did a create view up at the top, which is the way that I've been doing it before. And I did a create view. The main place that I like views are when I've got multiple tables that I frequently want to see specific fields on those multiple tables. Making a view then is really a nice way of not having to do the linking in the future, but just looking at the view as opposed to having to do the linking. The linking's already been done. Then I went down below, and after I did the create, I said, here's one where I did a create replace. So if you modify a view, you can use the create or replace clause, which means basically if it doesn't exist, it will create it. If it does exist, it will let you make changes to it. So you're saying create or replace the view. So that will allow you to modify it. Okay. And then my caution here is that it's lovely, except that if you type the name, you know, or the wrong name and forget what name you have, you may wipe out a view that you really didn't plan to wipe out if you agree to replace it. But you can also create a view with, and I listed the fields there, so I said create view, item number, item name, item cost, item price, as, and I've got totally different names in there. So I've got one set of names for the view and one set of names for in the table and I can create the view with a different set of names if for some reason I want to do that. Okay, so I've now got the view having the data from the table, but having different names from the table. I tend to think that that is going to confuse me more than it's going to help me, but you can do it. You can actually do an update on a view. So I created the view up here. Disorder 2. See, the view is created as Disorder 2. And I came down and I actually did an update on it. And so I went in and I updated the data. You can update data on the table and in the view through the view. In this case, I'm updating the view and changing the cost. The change is taking place both in the view and the database. So lots of times people will put a read-only clause on, which is down below on a view, because they don't want people mucking with their data. And so they will put on a clause, and someplace down here I have the read-only. I thought I did. There it is. So I can say, and I'll go back up in a minute, but this one is goes with it. I'm saying create a view as, and I'm saying we read only. So that means the view is available for the user to look at as much as they want to, but they can't make changes to the data through the view. Okay, it's a read-only, so they can't make changes to the data. And that's something you probably want to do if you have a bunch of inexperienced users. You don't want them doing stuff. You can also put a constraint on the view, which means that through the view, I can't change any cost in this example, so that it falls below the criteria. Okay, so I put in this create a view, select everything from disorder 2, where item cost is greater than 15. Okay, and I put on it with a check option constraint, which means basically that it will not let me change anything and put the cost below 15. Okay. I can still go into my table and do that, but I can't do it through the view. And once I had put that on, I tried to beat the system, and it didn't let me. Okay, so I tried to set it to $14.99. And it said I couldn't do that because I was violating it. But I then went down and updated the inventory, and it let me do that because I didn't have any restrictions on the actual file itself. I only had restrictions on the view. Okay. On the whole, when I was going to seminars on this and my own thing when I've been doing some Oracle is that I pretty much avoid updating through a view and try to updating is serious stuff. Making changes to data is serious stuff, and I try to do that only through the table and not randomly through a view. It just somehow breaks my sense of order. You know, I should be updating tables, not through views. And so I personally don't like this. But I said, it's my sense of structure or something. I don't like being able to update anything but a table.
I agree with you. It seems like a view is more like a temporary
holding.
Yeah,
that's right.
And it links so many tables together, that'd be pretty dangerous, I think.
Yeah.
It's like a temporary
gathering,
so I would rather change the table than...
Yeah, no, I think it's a safer way to do it and a safer way to think. Then, okay, if I want to update, if I'm doing maintenance, I'm doing maintenance. And I'm going to maintain the table, and I'm going to, you know, insert, delete, etc., but I'm doing it to the table.
And even the name view kind of makes it sound like, okay, this is a view. You're just gathering data and linking it all together and just building the structure, you know.
And that's what I think of it as. I think of it as a way of, if there is a kind of report that essentially my users want to constantly see this, then it's easier for me to just make a view and give them the view and say, anytime you want to see this, all you have to do is do a run with this name. And you're going to see it, and it's going to have the current data, because the view always picks up the data as it's creating the data. So that's the big use of a view, in my opinion. Okay. So the other information I want to look at is information on database objects. And this one is kind of interesting and kind of scary, tricky, scary. What I'm doing here is I am creating a sequence, okay? It's up at the top. It says there are 5 database objects covered in this course. A view, an index, or a table, rather. A view, an index, sequence, and synonym. Synonym is just giving another name. And so this is a sequence. And it's really kind of neat, but you have to treat it with a certain level of respect or you mess it up. What a sequence does is it creates something where I start with number 1, for example. In this one, I said create a sequence called ID_NO. I'm going to actually start with 1,000 on this one. The max value is 1999, and I'm going to increment by 1. And cache and no cycle is basically no cycle means it won't repeat the numbers. It won't start to repeat the numbers. And cache just means that Oracle will not keep a certain number in memory. So those can be written, and I'm not real clear which, why, when, and where I would want to say those. The no cache, so you can just leave those out if you want to. User sequence has all of those values in it, and you can see the values down there. So basically what we're doing is if I say select asterisk from user sequence, I can see that the minimum value is apparently 1. Actually, I thought I said minimum value of 1,000. Max value is 1999. The last number is 1,000. Okay, so that's where it's putting in the one I wanted to start with. Did I say minimum value? I didn't put minimum value. That's why it says 1. Okay, because I didn't put a minimum value in. I could have. Now that the sequence has been created, it can be used in tables. NextVal can be used to retrieve the next available sequence. And current value can be used to retrieve the current sequence value. So what this is for is, remember we talked about invoices, that they tend to have a unique number and they tend to make up for an order a unique number. Well, if I made one of these sequence numbers, then a lot of people can be using it and it will take the next available number. So it will just grab the next available number and you don't have to worry about the fact that what's he just taken as a number, therefore what number do I need? It will grab the next available number and it will keep going on in a sequence. And that's kind of a nice thing to have. So down below, actually I should have taken a picture of that, so I will do that now. Down below, I started using it, and that's when it starts to kind of make sense. Okay, so I said I'm created a table, test sequence. And then I said, all right, insert into test sequence the ID number NextVal, and also insert John Doe, and insert the amount, whatever that is, 500. So it created a record that showed me 1,000 John Doe and the 500. Okay? Then the next thing I did, which is the thing you shouldn't do, is I said, select ID number current value and show me the current value in the next value. So it showed me the current value, which is the 1,001, which is one up because it's already used the 1,000. But by saying that, I have now lost it. So that when I go and do an insert the next time, the value for next value is going to be up to 1,002 because I used 1,001. Because I referenced it, I used it. And so it automatically updated it by one. It incremented it by one. And even though what I was using it for was to check and see what it was, I still used it. It still went through and did the increment by one. And so the next one that I insert is going to have a 1,002. So basically, you can never go and look and see what the next number is if you don't want to mess it up. So when I put in the next one, and I guess I didn't show that, but you can see the list down below, it skipped 1,001 and went to 1,002. And then it went to 1,003, and it just would have continued. But I had lost the 1,001 because I asked it to show it, and that messed it up. So I said here, note that I just messed up the sequence by doing a select on next value to show the results. When I put things in the table, it will restart with 102. If I had simply referenced current value, I wouldn't have messed up the table. So current val I can reference, but when I talked about I want to see next val, it gave me what it was going to give me as the next val, but then it moved on the next time I asked for next val. And so the 1,001 got wasted in my saying, show me what it would be.
Can you only create a sequence when you're creating a table?
No, the sequence is a standalone thing. And in fact, if I really want to confuse issues, I could use this ID number in multiple things, and that would really mess it up. I mean, one should establish that this is the ID number for invoices, and it should only be used when I'm creating an invoice. But in fact, it is independent of the table, and so I can, it keeps track of the sequence. And so when I set up here, insert into test sequence values, ID number, next value, it went and found that sequence and took whatever the next value was and used that. Okay. So it, and it, they make the point that it is standalone and you can use it for other things, but practically speaking, if these are invoice numbers, you're only going to use it for an invoice number. Okay, but you could have an employee number one, and every time you hire an employee, they get the next available number. But the nice part about this is it's sitting out there, and anybody that uses ID number dot next val is going to get the next val. Okay, so if the person in New York is doing it out on the server, and we're doing it out on the server, it's going to keep growing, and the invoice numbers are going to keep changing. Now, lots of times the invoice numbers are local, so you wouldn't be doing them back and forth, but even then, it's the person at the next desk that's taking in another order or something on the phone or whatever. And if you want to get rid of one, you can say drop sequence ID number. Okay. You can alter the sequence. However, only future sequences are altered. Okay. So here's one where I did a create sequence. And I said, increment by 2, start with 2, max value is 12. So I did an insert, and I created, and I put it in, and I've got now number 2, because I started with 2, and 1,500. CIS 1,500. And then I did another insert, and that moved it up to 4, and I did payroll on that one. And then I kept inserting so that I had 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, and I went to insert the next one, and it came back and it said it exceeds the maximum value. Okay, so I could not insert anything. So I had to go in and do an alter on the sequence. So I did my alter on the sequence and set the max value to 100. And now I can go and add the 14 that I wanted to add, because the max value has been set to 100, so I did the next add for personnel, and it gave it the number 14, and it worked just fine. But I had to go in and change the max value. Okay? And I just did a little review of indexes where I can create an index on one field or on 2 fields and showed them. And then synonym I tried to use, but apparently they have not set up sufficient privileges. If I went out and tried to do one that was public. So I just said create synonym for TS1 for test sequence 1, and I've now got another name for it. But it wouldn't be available to all users. When I tried to make it public and make it available to all users, it told me it didn't have the privileges. And they purposely set up so that your area is your area and there's no public area that you can work with. Okay, questions on sequence?
On the sequence, can you just make like generic sequences like SEQ1 and make
sure.
4 positions and then customer ID and department ID and then just as long as they're the same size, like you know, 4 positions or whatever. Make another sequence, make 3 positions for a 3-position sequence.
Yeah, but then, I mean, what I question is why I would want to have 2 different 4-digit numbers using the same sequence.
Uh-huh.
I mean, my employees, if I want employee numbers, I want them 1 sequence. If I have invoice numbers, I want them another sequence.
Oh, I see.
Can I? Yeah.
Yeah.
Should I is more the question.
Yeah.
That I don't really want an employee getting 1,001 and then I do an invoice so it goes to 1,002 and then I go back to do something else and it's 1,000. So I'm skipping all over the place.
Best rule is
separate ones.
Sequence.
Yes. Right. So technically, yes, you can,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not sure I'd want to. Okay, that kind of finishes off SQL, or it does, the things that I want to look at. So now what we're going to do is go in and start looking at PLSQL. Now, as I think I told you, when I learned this stuff originally, I went to a bunch of classes. We're going to look at just a little bit in this, then move on and come back. Because, very frankly, they should never have done that in the first session. It made no sense. Some of the stuff that I've got in there really makes more sense when you have done a little bit beyond it and then go back to it. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. I'm going to pick and choose, and then we'll go back to looking at number 1 and 2. Whoever taught the course, and I long since have forgotten, I think that it's the official Oracle course. But I think that they would have been better served if they'd done a little different order, so we're going to do a little different order. Okay, BLSQL is a procedural language that you can use to step through records. It has ifs, it has loops, it has all the other kinds of things. Okay, it's written in a block structure where each block performs the logical tasks. And blocks can be nested within each other. And one of the things that they show in these first two handouts is nesting blocks. Well, let's understand a simple block before we start nesting them. So we'll come back to that. Okay, there are four parts of a PLSQL program. The first part is the declare part, where you declare your variables, and that's optional. If you don't have any variables to declare, you don't need to do that. Then there's the begin part, which is required, and that's where you put all of your code that you want to execute. Then there's the exception part, which is optional, and we won't get that to that for a while. That automatically kicks out problems. So I can set up rules to kick out problems. And then there's the end statement that's required. Okay. So that's the basic structure of a PLSQL. Okay, so down at the bottom, they kind of give you, right down here, they give you a simple example. And so I'm saying edit, and I made up the name of a program. So I called it A First Intro. And then I used the declare, and I declared V underscore message as a varchar 25. And then I said begin. Okay? So I've, if you read what I wrote about this, it says, in this example, I declared a message called vMessage in the declarative section. Then I assigned a literal to vMessage. The assign is done using the assignment code, which is a colon equals. Okay, colon equals is an assignment statement. This means that the data to the right of the assignment sign will be assigned to the data on the left. And this ended my PLSQL block. Looking at the code below, the edit A first intro takes me into the editor where I coded the PLSQL code. When I completed the code and saved it, I exited the editor and ran the code. This can be done with start followed by the name of the code or the at sign followed by the name of the course code. So either start A first intro or at sign A first intro. And it came back and happily told me it was successfully completed. Okay? Didn't do anything because all I told it to do was assign something to vMessage, but I never asked it to show me vMessage. So it didn't really do anything. It just executed. But it executed and told me it was done. Okay. Now, if I wanted to show something, and actually, why don't we go in and bring up, and you can try this. SQL Plus. Ever to let me know whether it liked my password or not. There we go. So if we go back into the notes and bring up, we can actually try one of these. And let's try this one that I've got right here. So I'm saying edit. And I can call that AFST1 underscore intro. Okay, and it comes up and says, do you want to create a new file? And I'm saying yes. Okay. So, when I create this new file, I am going to follow this example that's right here. I told you the last time we happily assigned something to be message, but we never saw any output. One of the ways I can see output is to use this DBMS output put line. And don't ever ask me what that actually, just recite that when I'm not looking at it. It's the most convoluted line, but anyway. That will write to the server, but in order to do it, I need to have set server output on. And when I set server output on, I always set server output off to return to normal. So I always put both things in. So I'm saying set server output on. And then I'm putting in the declare. And I'm saying declare v message 1 and make it a varchar 2. And make it 25 characters. And then begin. And I'm saying V message 1, I'm going to assign to it. And colon equal is an assignment sign. So I'm assigning colon equal. And I'm going to say what I said here, which is this PL SQL block works. Okay, and then I'm going to put in that DBMS underscore output dot put underscore line. You really would have thought they could have come up with something a little bit.
Mrs. Grosser, you have a double quote at the beginning of that.
Yep.
That wasn't, is that?
Nope, that sure wasn't. Okay, output line, and I put out the output is, and I concatenated that with the two pipes with the message 1. And then I put in the end, which is followed by a semicolon, the slash that I put in when I'm using the editor, and the server output off. Okay? And double check me and see. It looks like I might have gotten it right. So I'm going to do a file save and a file exit. And I'm coming back here and I'm going to do @AFST1_intro. And it gave me the result. The output is, and then it said the PLSQL was successfully completed. And that's always a lovely thing that you like to see. So if I go in again and write edit AFST1_intro, then I see the code. Okay, so that's the code that I wrote. So that's a very basic PLSQL. I have a declare, I have a begin, I have an end, and because I wanted to use the DBMS line, database management system line, I needed the command to set the server on, and then just out of good practice, if you set something on in a script, you set it off outside the script, or inside the script too. So that you return to normal. Okay, because if you start setting a lot of things off and don't set them, set a lot of things on and don't set them off, then you may get surprises later on.
same is true with the reports, right? You know, the T-title?
Oh, God, yes.
Well, I was trying to figure that out.
Yes, you want to do a report just before you're going to turn off your computer.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot easier to turn off your computer than it is to get the report to undo. Mm.
Can you put all that, like, T-title off or whatever in the bottom?
Yeah, but, I mean, some of them don't seem to work correctly. Mm. It doesn't seem to clear everything up. I mean, I'm semi-serious when I say that you want to do the report just before you're planning to turn off Oracle. Or maybe turn it off and turn it back on, because it is a pain in the neck to clean up the footprints that you leave when you do a report.
Yep.
And I've spent a lot of time actually looking for some magic thing that you can type and say, make the report structure go away.
Right. Yeah.
And I haven't been able to find it. And if anybody finds it, you know.
I tried clip columns, I tried, I don't know what else, but I can.
Oh, yeah. I've been there, done that. And I actually haven't done it within the last couple of years, so. There might be something new out there, so if you find it, let me know.
Right.
But I have done it multiple times in the past and, you know, been not happy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'd think they just have a command to do all that for you.
Yeah.
Yes, you would. Yes, you would. But as I said, I haven't found it. And you said you went looking and didn't find anything.
So far, nothing.
So, anyway. Okay, so I'm going to file close this. So that's a simple PLSQL program. Okay. Now, okay, they really are starting to get into a lot of, I don't want to be here. Okay, we're going to go to introductory if statements, so we're going to do something practical. We'll come back to those, we really will, but there are a lot of, isn't this cool, you can do this, as opposed to, I never want to do this. So, I created a table called donor new as select asterisks from donor, okay? Just because I was going to be playing around with eventually, so I created the table. Okay, so now I'm going to go down, and here is a practical example. And I think I have donor out there on mine. If not, okay, what is it? Select asterisks from cat. What have I got? Apparently I've never bothered to create donor. I have an EMP. And I will try to remember to put donor out there at some point. But I have an EMP. So I could do something with EMP. ESC EMP. Is that one that you all have? You all have an employee table?
I have a donor one, too.
You have a donor one.
I did the donor one.
Do you want us to use
them? You can use anything you want. I mean, I guess we can just do that, and you can use, yours will run and mine won't. So if you look at, and then we can try something else, but you can try typing this one in and I'll just talk about it. So, I started out and I've got the set verify off and set verify on, which will determine what will show up when it does the verify, you know, where it does old and new and that kind of stuff. But the main program is I have a declare. And in my declare, I am taking in a varchar2 for five characters. And I'm going to assign to it the value that is in input ID number. So input ID number is going to put up a prompt for the user to enter an ID number. And that's why I've got the set verify off and set verify on, because, you know, when you use that ampersand, it does the old and the new stuff. It shows you the old and shows you the new. Well, if I don't want that, I set verify off. Okay? So what this will do is it will give you a prompt. And you can see the prompt down here. When I run it, it says enter value for input ID number, and I entered an ID number. Okay, so I am just making up a name there. And when I execute the code, it will take that ampersand input ID number, and it will put up this. Again, enter value for, and then gives the name that I gave. So enter the value for input ID number. I then entered 12121. So that's my keying it in. So that got assigned to VID number. And then I set up a V year goal, and that was a number, and it was 7,2. Okay. Then inside the begin, those are the only two things I'm declaring. So declaring is declaring variables. I declare my variables up there. Then I come down to the begin, and I said, all right, select year goal into V year goal from donor new, where ID number equals VID. So what that did is it said, if you look at the data is down below, and I think that's the data that I created. So I'm saying here, go and select the year goal from the record where the ID number is equal to VID number. Well, I typed in 12121. So it's going to go to Jennifer Ames. And it is going to extract Jennifer Ames's year goal and store it in my variable, which is V year goal. Okay, do you see how that's working? It's going to the data, finding a match to the ID that I put in and stored in VID number. So it's finding a match to that ID, which is Jennifer Ames. And it's then extracting the year goal from that record and putting it into the year goal. Okay, so I'm going to the table, I'm finding a specific record, and I'm extracting data. Okay. For a day or two, we're going to have things that we're going to write that can only handle one record. If I want to step through the entire table, then I need to have a cursor, and we'll get into how to use a cursor and how to go through and select multiple records. But for now, we're just going to be selecting a record and processing it. So now I have said an if statement. I now have an if statement. So I have the select statement has put something into the year goal. That's the only thing it accomplished. It went and extracted from a specific record and put something into the year goal. Okay, so now it is saying if the year goal is greater than 250, then, and the then is needed, it says, take the year goal, multiply it by 1.1, and assign it to the year goal. Okay? So if I look up above at the records up above, do I ever have them? Yes. Jennifer Ames had a year goal of 400. Okay, so if I look here originally, Jennifer Ames had a year goal of 400. If I look down below, I can see that Jennifer Ames now has a year goal of 440. So this took the 400, okay? I extracted from this year goal. Yeah, right, it's not aligned. Why is it falling out of alignment lately? Okay, let's see if I can make 400. Yes. Okay, so she started with 400. And that went into the year goal. So now I'm saying take the year goal, multiply it by 1.1, which will get me up to 440. And assign that to be your goal. So I'm saying take the be your goal, multiply it by 1.1, and put it back into be your goal. And that's the end of the if. And you need the semicolon at the end of the select and the semicolon at the end of the if. And then I said, okay, now do an update. Update donor new, set your goal equal to be your goal. For the record that has the matching ID. And so it comes down here and changes it to 440. So I went in, I got a particular record. I said if the year goal is greater than 250 and 400 was greater than 250, up it by 10%, and then actually write the record with the update in it. Update the record. Does that make sense? Questions? And then I committed it, and then I ended. So I did a commit, and then I end. Okay? So this gave me the ability to go in and extract one record. Now, did I need PLSQL for this? No. I could have done this with a plain old SQL statement. Okay? Just done an update where and picked the right person. Although, actually, the if, I guess I couldn't, thinking about it, because I've got the if in there. I wouldn't have the ability to ask if was greater than 250. So that gives me a very quick little introduction to this. When you run it, okay, when you run it, it prompts you for the ID number, tells you the procedure was successfully completed. But all this procedure did, all this code did, was an update. So to find out if it really worked, I gotta put the select asterisk from donor new in there. And the select asterisk from donor new will then show me that indeed she got updated from 400 to 440. Okay, but frequently what I'm doing, and well, that's true in an update when you do an update in PL and just plain SQL. You have to check it to see if it worked. Okay, so I've got to go in and check it. Ah, oh, come on, 10:30 is not that bad.
I think I need to grab a coffee.
Is that slash, is that optional? Or is that right after the end? Is that just...
No, you have to have that there. And that came out of the editor. Mm-hmm. Oh, is it optional? Yes.
Yeah,
probably it is when you go in. It was in the editor.
And that serves as a comic? Or is it called like a blank line? Just to make
well,
it readable?
Actually, I'm trying to remember now. That input truncated to 13 characters. I don't think you got any more. But it used to give you that kind of an error if you didn't have the slash in there. But I don't think it does that anymore. Okay. So, That is, did you run that? Everybody run it all right?
So it gives you the same message whether it changes anything or not, and it doesn't let you know if it...
That's right. It completed the procedure. That's all it tells you. Which tells you that it successfully ran. You just don't know if it successfully did what you hoped it was going to do, but it does tell you it successfully ran. If you have an error in there, then you won't get that statement. Instead, you'll get a list of unintelligible errors. Just like you get with any programming language, you get unintelligible errors that you have to then try to figure out what they're really saying. Okay. So if I go down a little bit further, I put in one that has an else. And this one said, if your goal is greater than 250, then do what we did before, else do a 1.05. So I'm making a change, period. It's just which change I'm making, okay? So for this one, when I ran it, I put in the number 34567, which was Robert Brooks. And Robert Brooks had $50, as I recall, so he's now got 52.5. So he was the else. It wasn't greater than 250. He only had $50, so he's 52.5. So go in and fix yours up to have the else in it and try running it with somebody that doesn't have over 250. Spell opt. Is there such a word as opt? Here I have opt. I've got two P's and an ET, so I think it's a good word, but it was opt. Okay, has everybody got something working? And that's why I created Donor New, is I didn't want to mess up my original version of Donor. So I created another version.
You put the select right in the SQL.
Yes.
You can.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's right inside the begin.
Oh.
In fact, it usually is the first statement in the begin, because it's what gets me access to a record. And then we'll talk about how to get access to multiple records as we go along. But that's one of the things that PLSQL does for you, is it gives you access to a record, and then I can make a determination about that record. And when we get into curses, it gives you access to multiple records, in fact, the whole file if you want it, and I can then step through the file one record at a time. And that's something that's the plain old select doesn't let me do, is the select through the file and make different things for different people, except for that decode. The decode gives you some of that power. But that's about the only part of plain old SQL that lets you handle records individually. Okay, the next one is your standard, if it's greater than 300, do one thing. Else, if it's greater than 200, do something else. Else, if it's greater than 100, do something else. Else. And it is set up, and it has all of the ifs, the elses, and the end ifs. So if you want to go in and try that, I'm going to sneak out of this for a second and see if I can get it to orient so that I can actually draw the flowchart.
Right now, I can't. Okay. I've already answered this, but if you're select wasn't just matching up like an ID number to an ID number where you only get one record. If it got more than one record, would it do it for every record it got?
No, not until I start getting curses in and have to set up a loop. Right now, we're just having it process one record. And then we're going to get into doing curses and setting up a loop to do the curses. So right now, I have, if it's greater than 300, I am doing the times 1.3. If it's not, if it's greater than 200, I'm doing the times 1.2. If not, if it's greater than 100, I'm doing the times 1.1, otherwise I'm doing the times 1.05. Coming in, and again, I've extracted one record, and I'm saying, okay, now do a different multiply depending on the record that you get. So give that one a try. And when I did this, I tested it with a variety of different ones. I tested it with 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and I tested it with 1,000, it looks like. Oh no, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Just to make sure it was working correctly. Are you guys working on, have a problem or just working together? Huh?
We're just working.
Okay. Because if you have a problem, I'll come back and try to help you. But no. I had no problem with you doing it. I just wanted to make sure you didn't need help. You can keep working together. So if you know programming, this falls in line with other languages that you looked at.
You're only going to use or need the into clause within the select when you want to take a value from the table and put it into a variable.
Right, because you're then going to use it.
Right.
So I basically, if I wanted three different fields, I would say select 1, 2, 3 into 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
And it would go into three different fields that I was going to be using.
How would that be structure? Would it be in parentheses?
No, you could just do them with commas. I'm not sure that I have one in here. Let me look down. Oh, there I created. This is Mike. Oh, that's fine.
When you go to school. Yeah, let me go check. I think Priscilla's got the class for the day.
Right, right, I do. Okay, good. All right, questions. This is kind of a neat thing, and we'll look at it, but since I scroll down, and I love this. Instead of putting the type in here, I can essentially say, take the type that is on the field. So I'm saying here, set up VID number, go to donor new, take the type of the ID number that's there. What that does for me is, let's say I had an ID number that was 4 characters, and all of a sudden I need it to be up to 5 characters. I go in and I alter the table and I put it up to 5 characters. I don't want to have to go and alter every script where I had written VARCHAR 4 to make it VARCHAR 5. If instead of putting VARCHAR 4 in, I say go to donor new and take the type of the ID number, when I change it on the table, it gets changed. All of the scripts pick up on that, and all of the scripts will now be getting 5 characters instead of 4. So it's just a really neat thing, and I think it's the, you know, I always use it. If I am setting up a variable that's just a work area, then I put in the VARCHAR or the number or whatever it is. But if I'm talking about data that I'm retrieving, then I use that donor new or whatever the name of the table is, and it really, really helps. Okay? So I like that a lot. Okay, we are out of time, and I need to edit when I get home since I've got more conversation from other people in here. Okay.